Welcome to the Well Designed Podcast. I'm your host, Brandy Healy, and together with my friend and co-host, Kyle Wood, we'll share how we're integrating human design into our own lives. We're both entrepreneurs in the wellness space, navigating running our own businesses while being present in our personal lives, all without burning out in the process. In this episode, we'll include plenty of practical tools to get you unstuck and feel more in flow. Let's get started.
I wish that this moments like this make me wish this was a video podcast, because that dance was priceless.
Yes. Well, we can't start off an episode of the podcast without being a little bit goofy, as it helps us ease some of the long distance conversation tension. You know, it's always, it's good today, but some days it's really bad because there'll be a slight delay in the video and the voice, and those days are tricky. But yes, so today let's talk about what we're talking about today on the podcast. Today we are talking about your authority, and we're hoping to share with you some really quick tips or tactics that you can use to just tune back into your authority. Because a little reminder, Brandy, you're always very good at saying these things very succinctly. So could you give us a little refresher on what our authority is in human design?
Yeah, absolutely. So our authority is, I feel like I say this about every part. I'm like, it's one of my favorite parts of human design. But truly, like when we think about like our authority is how we make aligned decisions for ourselves, how we enter into, you know, and choose the right opportunities for us. And when we think about decisions, it's, we all make thousands of decisions every single day. So this is where, you know, I feel like this can be one of the most powerful, when you can really understand it and utilize it to make it work for you in your life. With that being said, it can also be one of the more challenging ones to really get a handle on, you know, if it's something that you haven't been had access to your whole life, or you have been conditioned out of. So as, you know, potent as it can be, it's also so important for us to remind ourselves to be really compassionate with ourselves. If you're hearing about your authority for the first time and you're like, I don't make decisions that way, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, this one can be, again, like a pretty sticky space. And, you know, I've been experimenting with my decision-making authority for several years now, and I'm here to tell you it is still very much a work in progress. So,
yeah, I was doing a little like reading for a couple of new friends the other day, and I said to the guy, I was like, oh, yours is trust your gut. Do you feel like you do that with decisions? He's like, no. And then he just like left the room. He didn't want to hear it. He's like, no, I don't make any of my decisions that way. But then it was revealed that his partner, who's, I'm trying to remember, I think she was self-projected, she often makes the decisions like for him. Like she can pick up from him what decision he actually wants to make. So it's like, well, she's just reading your gut reactions,
right,
visual cues. So yeah, anyway, it was very interesting, as she was very open to it, and he was like, no, I'm very skeptical of these things. And he's like, I can't.
Yes, he was very anymore. Affronted.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like, definitely... no, thank you, stranger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. He's like, it's
his
funny
gut
how
told
often
him he was out.
That happens with like male friends. They just it's like, I know they care about me a lot, but they'll just kind of be like, you can just tell they're just like, just stop talking about this. not all, but yeah, definitely with some. So there's that invitation that wasn't there to share that.
All right. So there are 7 different types of authorities, which feels like so many. But yeah. I think it's important to understand that the majority of people are, you know, very few of these types. Like, so, you know, 50% of people, it's like just over 50% of people have a wait for clarity or emotional authority. And then there's another, hold on, let me just double check on this number here. I'm like, now that I'm going to spill the goods, I have to be accurate. Trust your gut is about 33% of the population. So when you look at those two types, it's 85% of people are one of two types. So most of us fall into, you know, these two camps. And then, you know, the other five types are a little bit less, you know, less frequent out in the world. So I think that for those of you that have these other decision-making authorities, I feel like this is going to be really powerful for you, because I find that these are the people that are often conditioned the most by the rest of us.
Yeah. But before we get into that, we do have something else we want to share. So, we don't talk a lot on this show about what we actually do if you want to dive more into this human design stuff. So before we talk, we are going to share these tips on your authority. Did just want to mention a couple of things we've got going on at the moment that you might be interested in. So Brandy, do you want to go first?
Sure thing. So we both wanted to talk about how we work with clients and people that are interested in digging deeper into their human design, whether it's for their work, personal development, to, you know, understand their relationships with their family better. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that I typically work with clients one-to-one, and whether it is in single sessions or I do a series of 10 where we, over the course of 10 weeks, we really dive deep into each aspect of your human design. And, you know, Kyle has a group offering that he wants to share about as well.
Yeah, so once or twice a year I run, it's 3 months, so 13 weeks course. And really, this is for people who run their own like fitness or wellness business. And it's really about working out how to align with your human design so that you can create a business that feels successful to you. So most of the time when we look at what online people are saying and doing is like a very specific way that they want us to like build our business. And I know, especially as a projector, like that just doesn't work for me a lot of the time. So that's what this course is really about. We're going to go, I can speak to you a little bit more because you're listening to this, so you know a bit about human design. So we go through like your profile and how that works with your marketing, go through your authority and how that relates to making business decisions. And then of course your type and how that relates to your energy and the best way for you to work. So we do that in a group over the 13 weeks. And I'll put links to both of these to book either a session with Brandy or if you want to read a bit more about my program in the description.
Awesome. So all right, let's dive in.
So who are we starting with? I always put myself first.
Go for it.
First. Okay, so this is for those of you who are also splenic authority, like me, which sometimes is called intuitive knowing authority. So this has been one that's been really liberating for me to learn. But like Brandy said earlier, it can be really hard at times to actually use this. We're jumping ahead of ourselves, Brandy. We were going to share something else first. We were going to share some general things first, and then we were going to go into the specifics.
Oh, that's right.
Pause, everyone. Sorry for those of you who are splenic authority. I'm just going to leave you hanging there for a second. As we were doing this, so we did want to share that there's kind of some general things with your authority that is good advice no matter what your authority is. So this is sort of the similarities we see with human design. And then some of these have sort of more specific parts to it, which we will go into in each authority, which is why I wanted to take a step back, because then it would make more sense when I'd be like, remember when I said that before? This is how it shows up for this, but that won't make sense unless I actually share the three things.
What those things are.
So the first thing with authority is that none of us are meant to make a design from... I'm meant to make a decision. I've got human design on the brain. I'm meant to make a decision from a really, like, heady space. So pros and cons lists are out, people. So that's the first piece of general advice, is to stop overthinking it. And particularly for those of you who have, like, a defined mind or a defined head or both, which is me, it can be really easy to get stuck in your head trying to make decisions. And that's not where you're meant to make these big decisions from. The second general piece of advice has to do with timing. So for each authority, there will be an element where timing is important. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And the third one is around paying attention to the energy of the space you're in, and also the energy of the people you're around can be really important when it comes to tuning into your authority. So they're just three pieces of advice to try and keep in mind next time you're like, oh, I can't work out how to do my authority, I don't know how to tune into it or pay attention to it. I'll hand it back over to you now. Do you want to share some stuff about the spleen with us? And I'll tell you whether that rings true for me.
All right. Yes. Okay. So for those of you with a tune in to your intuition or a splenic authority, you know, this is that decision-making authority that comes with an intuitive moment, or with an intuitive knowing in the moment. So this one is like the quietest of authorities and can be kind of elusive. So something that could be really useful to people with this authority is to have something in your toolkit that really helps you quiet down your mind and helps you tap into your intuition. So that could be like something like time alone, being outside in nature, breath work, meditation, just something that helps you, you know, slow things down and quiet things down enough so that you can actually hear your intuition come through. So my 14-year-old also has, is a splenic authority. So something that, you know, has been really helpful for him is he just like stops, pauses, takes a really deep breath, and kind of like does like a little energetic reset. And that's something that has really helped him, you know, when he gets a little bit frustrated or, you know, feels like he can't answer a question. I'm just like, pause, take a deep breath. And then he can kind of open his eyes and like be clear and say, this is what I want to do. And so that's something I've seen in real life be very helpful. So does that ring true for you, Kyle?
Yeah, where are you when I need that, Brandy? Where are you when I'm melting down? Hey, stop. Just yell it out from California.
Listen, I'm looking for that person for myself as well, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So the notes I had on this, because a lot of people who have this authority, or even people who are trying to understand someone who has this authority, is they really struggle to understand what are you feeling into. So for me, what I've noticed is that the voice is really quiet, as you said, but it's also confident. It's not quiet and meek. It knows what the right thing to do is in the moment. But if you're busy, and especially if I'm taking in too much information from other people, can be really hard to tune into that. So that's when, yeah, having that space. So that would be my tip, having space. And then notice if you do have a voice inside of you that's very loud, it's probably not your intuition that's telling you what to do. It's probably fear or conditioning. So that was sort of my other tip, is to pay attention to. If the voice is loud and erratic, it's not your intuition saying, no, your intuition doesn't speak to you that way. Your intuition speaks to you very kindly, calmly, confidently. So,
oh, I love that.
That's my tip.
Yeah, It's usually our bossy binder emotions.
Yeah, that's right. Or for me, with an open emotional center, is someone else's emotions.
Yes. All right, so then should we move on to mine?
Yeah, okay. Do you want me to speak about yours?
Yes, please. So I have a wait for clarity authority, or which is also known as an emotional authority. So, Kyle, it's probably my emotions that are getting in the way of your decision making.
Look, someone who, and this is actually another good piece of advice for the previous one, but people who are in control or have a good handling on their emotions are like very healthy to be around. Because you can see them handling that in a safe way, and they're not necessarily trying to like inflict their emotions upon the people around them, which is hard, because would you say it's 50% of people have this as their authority? So, the thing that I think that I feel like is a good tip for this, because the first piece of advice you always get if you've got this authority is like, you know, to sleep on it. To wait until the next day and then you'll know. But it's more subtle than that, isn't it? It's more about waiting till you feel calm and clarity. So it's after you've gone through all the emotional waves. So that might take, it's not necessarily going to always take exactly 24 hours or exactly one sleep. It might take a couple of days. It might take longer for you to finish going through that and to reach that place where you're calm. So that would be my tip for tuning in, is like just checking in, am I making this from a heightened this decision from a heightened emotional state, whether that's very like low, like F this, F that, F these people, I'm out. If you're a manifestor, you may be able to get away with that. The rest of us going to make us pretty miserable. But yeah, if you're or you're making it from like, oh my God, this is so amazing, this is so exciting, I'm going to change my whole business and my whole life and everything. And then that's also maybe like check in and be like, is that really from a calm thing? So calm place. So how does that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. So I think it's really about like, after you get that initial instinct, it's really about that pause and giving yourself time to process before you commit. It's like you're waiting for the charge to dissipate before you enter into the commitment. So that charge can be exciting and can get you really hyped up, or it can be, you know, on the flip side of that, if you're feeling low or drained, no matter what someone tells you, it can sound like a terrible idea. So, you know, that pause is there to kind of protect us from our emotions. And again, like not let our emotions be the boss. And I think that the word emotional authority, it's almost like an oxymoron, right? Because it makes it sound like we're meant to make our decisions from our emotions, when it's really about we're meant to not let our emotions get in the way of us making aligned decisions. And so I have certainly fallen victim of saying yes to things because I'm really wrapped up in excitement, and the next day regretting it tremendously, or on the flip side, shutting something down because an opportunity was presented to me when I was in, you know, not a great place.
Yeah.
And then, you know, regretting not having waited until I was out of that place before committing. So I think that's, you know, pretty accurate. And sometimes we don't always have the grace of, you know, a full sleep. But I think, you know, even just that pause, and I have found for myself personally, even when it comes to things like responding to an email, like in the heat of passion, probably a good idea for me to like pause before I hit send, even if I want to write that sucker. And I let it sit there in the inbox, and then I go back and I'm like, I don't need to send that. Or, you know what? I can talk to this person tomorrow, or, you know, whatever it is. So I think that's another helpful reminder, is it's about letting the emotion that's present at the time,
yeah,
you know, kind of pass.
Yeah. And what's that piece of advice is always like, can I get back to you on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's your new favorite phrase as well.
Oh, I love that one. Is can I get back to you? And even when it is exciting, like letting people know, like, that sounds really exciting. You know, can I get back to you in a day or two? You know, I need to check out a few things. And those few things I need to check out are my emotions.
That's good.
All right. So let's talk about trust your gut.
Yeah.
So this is another one that a large portion of people have, is this trust your gut. And trust your gut is only available for generators or manifesting generators. So all non-sacral types, you can, you know, listen for your sacral friends and loved ones. So for this trust your gut, this one is instantaneous. So we talked about timing. So timing for wait for clarity is that pause. And what are we waiting for? We're waiting for that pause. We're waiting for those emotions to pass. With the trust your gut, it's the opposite. It's instant, similar to tune into your intuition. But with trust your gut, instead of having this quiet, soft, intuitive whisper or this knowing that comes over you, it's a lot more raucous. It's a lot more embodied. It's, you know, it's sacral. It's your gut. So oftentimes people will say that that gut knowing feels really expansive, or like butterflies, or, you know, like bubbles, nervous energy, excitement. So that can look different depending on the person, but really understanding what that gut full-bodied yes feels like to you. And on the flip side, what does a no feel like to you? So some people will say it feels like a contraction, or like, you know, tension in their stomach. So I think those two things are really helpful. Like, what does a full-bodied yes feel like to me? What does a no feel like to me? And you can kind of experiment with this one by asking yourself yes or no questions, the things you already know the answer to. So like, do I like pizza? Yes or no? And like kind of starting to like, you know, play around and say like, what does that feel like in my body? Or if there's something that you absolutely detest, like when that is an option presented to me, what does that feel like in my body? And that can be something super useful.
Yeah, practice like when the stakes are low. What do you... Actually, not what do I want to have for dinner tonight? Terrible question to ask someone with a gut authority. So something you can also do is, can you reframe? Can you give me some options? Can you start listing out options? And then for each option, you can be like, pizza? No. Indian? No. Going through the list one by one. I guess the other thing to mention is that, yeah, unlike emotional authority, but like splenic authority, the decision, it should be easy to make the decision in the moment. So it is just that classic thing of like, trust your gut, go with that initial feeling, rather than getting stuck in your head. Go back to that again, because that's a big one. Like my friend who I shared before, who had the gut authority, like, you know, he's trying to make all these decisions from his head. He can never make the decision. Does a million hours of research, but yeah, can't make that decision because he's trying to make the decision with the wrong part of his body. So yeah, I think that's all I would add to trust your gut.
Yeah, and I think that something to just be mindful of, if this is your authority, is that the conditioning that those of you with this authority may have is people telling you, are you sure? And this is, I guess, true also for splenic, because this is something that I try not to do to my son, is ask like, are you sure? Do you want to take more time? Why don't you sleep on it? Because that can really lead people to doubt themselves, right? Mm. And so, again, just know if you're like, this is not something that I feel comfortable with, that's, it's really common. And again, give yourself some grace.
Yeah. All right. What are we looking at next?
Pick one.
Yeah. Let's do, I like self-projected or talking out.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next one we'll look at is this happens when you don't have your splenic, you don't have any of the three sort of main centers that help us make decisions. So your spleen, your sacral, your emotional center, but you do have your throat. But you're not a mental projector, so there's another element in there I'm forgetting.
Identity.
Your throat to your identity. Thank you. So the it is more rare. These next four we're going to talk about are much, much more rare. They're a small percentage of people. So when you're thinking about interacting with others, if you don't know the design, they probably aren't one of these. But it can be helpful to look up the design, and it can be really helpful when you do meet someone who has one of these authorities, because, or if you are someone with that authority, because the way you make decisions is so different to over 99% of the population for each of these. So this one we're talking about is called self-projected. It happens just to projectors. And the way you best make decisions is to talk it out. And as you're speaking and saying the words out loud, paying attention to what's coming up for you. So like, are you starting to get some hits of clarity? It doesn't really matter what the other person is saying or doing. Like, it's, you want someone who will literally just let you talk it out and just speak about it. I have a nephew who has this, and like I said, a friend who has this as well. And it is really helpful for them to just be able to like natter at you. And it can be very annoying if you're on the receiving end of this. But yeah, so
if you don't know what's happening to you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they're like, why aren't they listening to any of my advice? Because if you have this authority, that's the thing. You're not talking to other people to get their advice. You're talking to people to be able to tune in to your own authority and what you know is the right decision for you. So that's my big tip with this one, is to find people who are happy to just be a sounding board, and you've got a relationship with them where you can say, hey, look, I just need to talk through this out loud. Do you mind just listening along? So I've got someone to speak this to, and go from there.
Yeah, I think that's important, that if you have this authority, manage the expectation so that, you know, when there's projectors, a fellow projector on the other end, we're not salty that you're not taking our advice.
Yeah, that's right.
From projector to projector. And one of my closest girlfriends has this authority. And, you know, what's interesting is oftentimes I find after she kind of goes through these, you know, these conversations where she's processing, she apologizes. She's like, I'm so sorry, I've just been talking. And I'm like, no, I remind her, I'm like, I'm your sounding board. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. And it can be such a relief when you know that you have those people in your life that can act as that sounding board and that container to help you process. Also remember that, like, you can utilize other tools like journaling, or even leaving yourself voice notes, talking to yourself. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but this is something that I've also heard self-projected projectors say, oh yeah, I talk to myself in my car, in the shower, kind of narrating their day to themselves. So know that these are all things that might feel innately really natural to you, and use them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it used to drive me a bit crazy with my nephew as well. But yeah, I think just the talking out loud, and that's the thing, it doesn't have to be to someone else. So that's another thing as well. If you feel like you don't have anyone in your life who you can talk to like that, then try just doing it in the shower.
All right, let's talk about the next one that's very similar, but again, a little bit more nuanced. So it's talk it out and be in the right space. This is also an authority that is only available to projectors. And it's similar in terms of, you know, it's process based, that when talking things out, but it's also important because these people have basically everything from the throat down open, correct?
Yeah, so they'll have the throat, the head, and the mind. They'll have either all three or any two.
Or two.
Yeah.
Right. Of those. So knowing that you have so much openness in your chart, you are incredibly sensitive to the energy of the space that you're in and the people that you are around. So this is where it's super important, not only that, like, okay, do I need to have a sounding board, but does the space, the physical space I'm in, mm-hmm. feel supportive to me processing, that I'm able to either talk it out or do my voice recording or write in my journal, really connect to my inner voice, my inner knowing, by nurturing myself through the people I'm around or the environment that I'm in. Something that can also be useful is like changing the space or changing the person that you're talking to, mm-hmm. because it can bring out different perspectives of the decision that you need to make.
Yeah, in fact, that's like recommended, that you don't make a decision just based on that one space or person, but that you do go and talk to quite a few people. And my other tip here is, like, you might have a friend who likes listening to all your stuff, but then wants to give you advice, or they, you know, want to tell you what they think is the best thing to do. That's not necessarily what you want, because again, we're tuning into our own authority. So we want people who would just like ask really good questions, which feels really good as a projector anyway, to have someone sit there and ask you really good questions. And yeah, I know I have had one client who really just did like a lot of journaling, and had like a favorite spot in her house. She liked to journal, favorite cafe she liked to go to and journal. So she's in her 60s, so she's more in tune with this stuff. But yeah, she already was like finding those things naturally. And it's actually been really, really cool watching her embrace that authority over like the last 12 months, and just to see like the difference in her business and her life and where she's going. Yeah, it's really awesome.
So good. So good. All right, so last...
Got two left.
Oh yeah, we do have two left.
We haven't talked about reflectors yet. Or ego.
That's right. So let's do tune into your willpower. So yes. Tune into your willpower is, you could be a manifestor or a projector and have this as your authority. So, you know, for those of you that have this authority, it's so important that you are entering into commitments that you are really being pulled toward, that your heart is like fully in, that you are certain that you want to see that thing come to fruition. People that have this authority, like, you can't enter into things half-hearted. You have this incredible drive and this incredible willpower to make things happen. So when you say yes to them, you need to be certain that you actually want that thing to happen, because you're going to make it happen. So, you know, it's also important for you to recognize if it's something you feel pushed away from or repellent towards, like, that should be something that's a no for you. A useful tool for these people is to make sure that the things that they are saying yes to, not only is their heart in it, but they feel, you know, also that they're being valued in the container of that commitment, that they feel like their contributions are appreciated. So even if you're a manifestor and you're like, this sounds very projectory, this also applies to you. And it's really about protecting that powerful willpower that you have to make sure that it's being received and it's being valued.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's cool to hear people talk about this who have this authority, because that's usually the first thing that I say is like, oh yeah, my heart wasn't really in it and I just couldn't do it. So yeah, I think, you know, with the other ones, we've talked a lot about like, if you feel, you know, get like emotional authority where you feel like really excited about something and it's like, well, actually you need to wait a little bit. Whereas this authority is the opposite, where it's kind of like, oh, you feel into this thing, like that means it's the right choice for you.
Yep. I have a girlfriend that has this authority, and I know. And so it's like, I have two girlfriends. One is, you know, a talk it out. And the other one is attuned to your willpower. And I'm like, you two have like some of the most rare authorities. Yeah, yeah. It's so cool. It's so cool to like see, you know, these play out on a regular basis. And with my girlfriend that has this ego authority, you know, oftentimes I just tell her, I go, fast forward the tape. Like, do you want to see the end of this movie, right? And she's like, and oftentimes she's like, oh, hell no. Or, you know, like, yeah, totally. I want to see this to the end. And so, you know, this is where it can be super useful for people with this type is when you do enter into a commitment, when you are giving that yes, just make sure that you are, like, very clear about what you're available for and, like, where your boundaries are. I think that that really helps protect that. It also because like our ego really is so tied into our self-worth and our own personal value. Know that when you say yes to something, the outcome of that like impacts your sense of self. So know that like if this is something my heart is in, like when this actually happens, like it's going to feel amazing. So like flip side, if your heart isn't really in it, like you're going to probably make it happen anyways. And if it's not something that you want to happen, probably not going to leave you feeling super great.
No. Yeah. All right. Reflectors have a unique authority.
Yes. Have you ever met a reflector that didn't just like want to cry when they heard their authority?
Yeah. I think for other authorities, like generators, look at that and they're like, oh, yuck. But yeah, so the reflector authority is to wait a lunar cycle. So basically what this means is because as a reflector, you have all your centers open, it means over the period of 28 days, 29 days, you're going to go through a wide range of experiences, not just in your day-to-day life, but also like from the way, if you get into the astronomical side of things, like the way the planets move and things like that, different gates will light up and you'll feel differently. Some reflectors like to track this. Some reflectors like to track this whole thing. But the main thing is just to realize that like an emotional authority where they're waiting for that wave to get that clarity, when you've got all of your centers open, you need to wait. Well, you don't need to, but it's helpful to wait to go through that whole monthly cycle to be able to like land on a decision for a big, especially like a big decision, like I'm moving house, or how do I feel about this person, or like, you know, do I want to start this business?
That was a really beautiful way to describe it. I loved that. Oh. Good one.
Open-throated work there.
Yeah, working its genius. I love that. You know, I think that what I want to precursor for reflectors is for your small daily decisions, honor what feels good to you in the moment. Like, you don't need to wait a month to decide what you're going to eat for lunch.
Yes.
or what movie you're going to
very
see.
Very hungry projectors walking around.
poor reflectors just starving themselves.
Sorry,
over
reflectors.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I think what's important for reflectors to really understand is that the most important thing is, even if you can't give it 28 days, is to not feel like you're being rushed, right? Or pressured into making a decision, that you are really taking your time to, whether it's to talk to different people that you trust, feeling how that decision feels in different moments, in, you know, almost similar to like an environmental. It's like you're talking about it with different people in different places over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And you know, many, many of the reflectors that I talked to, they were like, oh my gosh, this is something that I've always made myself wrong for, is taking a really long time to make decisions, or feeling like I talk it to death with everyone I know. And, you know, most people, like, not just for this authority, but in many of these, are already innately trying to navigate their authority, but they're not really understanding. It's like, riding a bike but not knowing what a bike is.
That's a good analogy.
Right? It's like you kind of, like, somebody kind of, like, knows what they should generally do, but no one's ever, like, taught them how to balance or, like, pump the pedals. And so, you know, once you can understand how to do those skills, you know, maybe you won't fall off as much.
Yeah, and, like, stuff, I'm sure you find this hard with your authority, too, but stuff is, like, moving so quick, and it's only speeding up that... I can imagine just the pressure to feel like you need to make decisions. So finding people who really respect your wisdom when you're given the space to make decisions is like a big one.
One of the things that I've definitely found is that when I feel like I don't have a choice but to make a decision in a very short period of time, usually that means it's a no for me because it doesn't honor my process. And I'm like, well, if I have to make this choice right this second, then my answer is no, because that's not how I can make a decision. And, you know, sometimes what I try to tell myself is, you know, again, as a projector, you know, I think this is a good reminder for all of us, is keep in mind, you still have your type. You still have your strategy, and then we're using our authority. So it's like, as a projector, if that invitation is like, here's an invitation, but there are parameters around this invitation, then it's not really an invitation of my insight, my wisdom. It's, this is what I want under my circumstances, which if it feels right for me, then it's like, great. But if it doesn't, then I can probably see that the invitation was off, or that my strategy wasn't in alignment. Mm. So I can't make an aligned decision.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say something similar for the splenic authority as well. Like if there's no intuitive hit, then usually the answer is no, but that's hard because, and I'm sure you've experienced it, because sometimes I want to do it, or I feel like, oh, I should say yes to this, or I don't. The big one, and this is like probably one of the ones we should have said as one of the general things for tuning into your authority, is I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. Like, what if it is going past and I'm not going to get another chance to do this? And so we throw our authority out the window and make this decision from this like really like fear base, which
misaligned place. Yeah,
I know we're getting into a topic you want to do another episode on the fear gates, but we go into this. So that's another one, and you see that. I mean, this podcast is online, so let's talk a minute about the online world. You know, we see this all the time. I find it so interesting that 50% of the population has emotional authority, and yet we see so many high pressure scarcity tactics
buy now.
Which I guess that's the reason they work, is because we're forcing people who don't have a gut or a splenic authority to make this decision in the moment. But yeah, I'm always fascinated to see behind the scenes of like how many people, not even how many people are asking for refunds, but how many people are actually completing the course or doing the course. Like, you know, I know one of the figures from, because I'm from the fitness world, 70% of gym membership users, like owners, people who own, who pay for a gym membership, 70% go less than once per week.
Stop.
That's the statistic. That statistic is from a big chain, worldwide chain gym. And they know that. They're banking on the fact that 70% of
that
people
you're not coming.
Will use it less than once a week, will contribute very little to the running costs of the gym, and everyone else is pretty much subsidizing the memberships of the people who do actually go.
Yeah, the 70% of you are paying for the 30% that actually go.
And I always have to explain that to people when they're then looking at, like, oh, but why is that trainer so expensive? And it's like, because every single one of their clients goes, and they're making sure that every single one of their clients goes, and so they don't have seven out of 10 clients who are just paying for everyone else. yeah, so that
I'm like, that sounds like a very projector business model.
Yeah, yeah, it does. This. Damn, that's what I should have. I should have bought the local gym. No, I can't. I can't. But then your recognition goes out the window, you see. So, yeah.
Yes, anyway, so we'll definitely do a follow-up episode to this one that's about, you know, maybe some places in your design that can kind of get in the way of our authority.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would find that really interesting too. But I've just wanted to say I really enjoyed this episode. It was really fun.
Yeah, me too.
I think you're right. Authority is up there with some of the favoritest parts of human design. So it was really good fun geeking out on it. Yes, if you'd like to work with either one of us, reminder, links are in the show notes. Brandy's available as long as she's not full up. My Alliance Success program is going to start within the next 4 weeks-ish since you listen to this. Depends when you're listening to this. So make sure you check that out sooner than later. All right.
Amazing. Great to chat.
Great to chat. And until next time, everyone, goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, it's Kyle again. I just wanted to take a moment at the end of this episode to thank you for listening. If you'd like to show us some love or keep in touch with new episodes that we bring out, make sure you hit subscribe in your podcast player and also give us a heart or a like or a thumbs up or whatever they've got there, as that helps us with the algorithm gods. If you could leave us a review, if you've got a message for us, please leave us a review if your app lets you, because we also really appreciate that. I really appreciate reading those. And if you'd like to get in touch or send us a message, the easiest way to do that is to hop on the Instagram, find us at WellDesignedHD, and just send us a message through there, and that'll go to both of us.